If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, please? So it's 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and I've made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and grey-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me, before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is my witness against you, and his anointed is a witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is a witness." Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtaroths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwell in safety. And when you saw that Nahash king of the Amorites came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is a king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Well, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go quickly through that passage of scripture and just bring out one or two points. As with all this, of course, you can go into these things in greater detail, but the idea which I want to get over you was what the next to last verse which we read about is: consider what great things God has done for us. Consider what great things God has done for you and for me. So that's where we're going to end up with. But to get there, we've got to start at the beginning. Here we have Samuel, who's a prophet of God, who is addressing the people. And there's one or two lessons I'd like just to go through with you and pray that the Lord will help us. Nothing startling, but that's good, because so that we can just simply see what the word says to us. I suppose I feel a little bit like Samuel here, because he says in verse 2, "And now here is the king walking before you, and this is me, and I am old and grey-headed. And look, my sons are with you." And sometimes I feel like old and grey-headed. But that's only the outward appearance. Inside, I'm a young whippersnapper. But on the outside, it's like your outer man is perishing, isn't it? The inner man is being renewed, sort of, every day. But isn't this wonderful that Samuel could say this? We know the very beginning of Samuel, when he was taken to the temple and how he grew up there. Samuel had served the Lord all his life. Isn't that wonderful? I know some of us sort of were converted as children, and all our time till this present we are serving the Lord. But here we have Samuel serving the Lord, and he's asking the people to witness how he had behaved before them. He'd been honest. He'd not taken anybody's donkey. He cheated nobody. He didn't sort of receive a bribe so that he could sway justice one way or the other. He didn't oppress them. And in fact, he was a very good example to them of how to live and how to serve the Lord. But we find here that sort of Samuel is addressing the people. And we find in the previous chapter that Saul is now king of sort of Israel, and he saves some of his people, and the people are gathered together. And he's very annoyed because sort of the people, because they face difficulty, because they face this invasion for the Amorites that came to war against them, that instead of the people turning to God and seeking him who had done so much for them, the God who had brought them out of Egypt, who judged them, who led them, who delivered them, and all these wonderful things that God had done for them over many, many years. He had a proven record with them. What God said he would do, he did. And yet in this situation, what they wanted to be, they did not want to be ruled by God. They wanted a king to rule over them. They wanted their king that they could see, who could rule over them, lead them, fight for them, which they could see. And what they also said they wanted to be, they wanted to be like all the other nations around them. So instead of considering what great things God had done and proven and they'd experienced in their history, instead of considering the great things God had done for them, they turned away from God. And when they turned away God, it's always the wrong step. And when we turn away from God, it's always the wrong step. It's a wrong thing to do. Samuel, he goes on to warn them about the having a king. that having a king has its consequences. The king will want sort of more money for his palace. He'll take the sons and the daughters for his own purposes. He'll take the best fields, the vineyards, a tenth of the grain, the sheep, male, female servants, donkeys. And it will get to such a stage that the people will cry unto the Lord, if you like, for relief. But Samuel says the Lord will not hear them, because what they had done, they had chosen a king rather than choose God. Just by way of a little application for us over that short explanation, there is this. We, as the Lord's people, what is our testimony? What would witnesses say about us? There goes that old grey, grumpy old man of me. What would he say about you? But more important than what other people think, because other people can only see sometimes the outward effects of life and the things that you do. The most important question we need to ask ourselves is, what does the Lord say about us? How does the Lord see us? Does the Lord see us walking worthy of our calling? We saw how Samuel walked, that he had, if you like, a blameless, he wasn't sinless, of course, but in their eyes he'd been upright and honest. But let our example not be Samuel, but let our example be our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us be determined that when we show our love to him, and how we show our love to him, is not just by helping people, which is good, but by keeping his commandments. And let us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as his children, help us that we may ask God to work within us, that we may be more conformed, not to the person next door to us, or the person who's sitting in front or behind us, but that we may be more conformed to Christ, the image of his dear Son. In the times of difficulties, they turned away from God, and they turned to man. What do we do in times of difficulty? Do we turn to man, or do we turn to God? And let's be encouraged that indeed we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember, it is the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. It is the Lord who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And let us consider also what great things God has done for us, which we'll explain a little later on. Sometimes in life, we get blinded by, of course, it's providence, is called. We are blinded by the appointed ways of God in our lives and God's ordered ways in our lives. And sometimes we can't see our hand further than our nose, as it were. Was that the expression? But what we've got to do, when we can't see maybe the way forward, and we can't see, if you like, the path before us, let us remember who God is. Let us recall to mind the great things that he has already done for us. And God being faithful in the past is a sure proven evidence that he will be faithful in the presence, and he will be faithful in the future. And if we decide to go our own way, well, it says in Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. God's way is the right way. In times of trouble, let us turn to him. Sometimes I find, on a personal note, that that's what you do. You turn to the Lord. But it's not like a magic switch. It not means that tomorrow everything is okay, or the next day. And sometimes the difficulty I find, and I'll be very honest with you, is that when situations arise, you know that you should turn to the Lord, but you struggle a little bit because you know you did that yesterday, and this is today, and you have another problem. You say, well, Lord, I turned to you yesterday, and this has happened today. But what we must do, we must indeed, with the help of the Holy Spirit, keep turning to God, keep asking God, keep looking to God, keep remembering the great things what he has done. Let us consider the great things he has done. Samuel goes on to, through the passage, to speak to the people of God's mercy. Remember, he's doing this at the footsteps and the youth groups about Moses, that God responded to the cry of the people in Egypt in mercy, and he raised up Moses and he raised up Aaron to go back to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. We know all the plagues and all the things that happened, but by God's mighty power that the people were delivered from Egypt and brought into the promised land. And it was God's mercy. Samuel reminds the people. Again, he's saying, look, he reminds them of the consequences they suffered when they forgot God, when they didn't follow God, when they turned their own ways and they were defeated by the enemies on many, many occasions. And when they turned to God, when they confessed to God, when they cried unto God, God, in his mercy, heard them and answered them by sending the people like Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and other people in the judges to deliver them from the enemy. Samuel goes on, he reasons with the people. He reasons with them. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. The evidence was there, what God had done. And they should consider that and weigh that in. They should consider what great things God had done. The plagues, the opening of the Red Sea, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the clothes didn't wear out over 40 years, the Jordan crossing into the promised land. All these things God has done. It would be good for us that we should also stand still and consider. Let's consider what great things God has done for us. We are the people of God this night. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have salvation. We have forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God. We have eternal life. We are the sons of God. We are kept by God. The Lord is controlling and overruling in all things to accomplish his purpose. Friends, we are blessed indeed. Let us take time in our busy lives to stand still and consider what great things God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. I mean, one of the things, it's wonderful, isn't it? The God of all creation, the God who gives us the breath that we breathe tonight, he says to you and me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. God is with you. And by way of obviously the application, there is consequences to our sin. And it's, you know, we need to be quick to be sorry for our sin and ask God to forgive us our sins. Because I don't know about you folks, but I find sin very evident. It's a battle. It is a spiritual battle every day. It's not sort of like sort of in some utopia where everything's wonderful and you don't sin and you don't say words you shouldn't say and you don't think things that you shouldn't say. You don't have attitude which you ought not to have. I think in the normal Christian life, these are things and these are battles which we constantly have. But isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus bore our sin in his own body on the tree? And it says in 1 John, doesn't it? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Samuel reminds the people they had sinned in asking for a king. And God would show his displeasure in a very public demonstration of his power. In them wanting a king to rule over them, to be like other nations, they had sinned and were warned of the consequences of the king, as we mentioned before. And in spite of all this, God tells them that he would show his love and his mercy and his grace towards his people. Isn't that wonderful? God in our lives shows us his love, his mercy, his grace. But it tells us that we have a responsibility, because Samuel goes on to tell them that they are to fear the Lord and serve and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you. Friends, we have a responsibility, we're children of God, not to live the way that we want to, not to live and go our own way. But we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. We're no longer our own, we're Christ. And therefore we should be endeavouring to love him, fear him, obey him, follow him, and love him with all our hearts. God demonstrates his power in a particular way here, because it was the time of the wheat harvest. And he tells the people to stand still and see what great things God would do before their eyes. And the way it happened was that it was the thunder and the lightning which happened. God said he'd do that, and that's exactly what happened to them. The thunder came, the rain came, and it was in such force that the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel, we are told. And they asked Samuel to pray for them, that they may not die. And here we have the compassion of Samuel when he assures the people that although they had sinned in asking for a king, they should not turn from following the Lord, but to serve him with all their heart. Folks, you know, when we sin, when we do things wrong, let us not, as it were, in a way, just curl up and do nothing. But help us to confess that sin. But let us be determined by the help of the Holy Spirit to be determined to follow the Lord, be determined to serve him with all our hearts. In fact, what I'm trying to say is turn towards him than away from him. We're told, for if the people went their own way and did not follow the Lord, it would not benefit them. They were chasing the wind. If we seek any other than Christ, we're not seeking the best. We're not seeking the right way. It's got to be the Lord. It's got to be Christ. That's who we serve. Do you ever pray this way? Lord, we have no man to help us. Only you can help us. Man can show the love between one another, and they can do certain things between one another. But it is the Lord. He is the one we're to look to. He is the one we are to trust. They should consider what great things God has done for them. sin will be punished, and there's no doubt about that. But we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful? Our sin will be forgiven. We will be right with God. We go on to read then. I've added this little section of going through this passage of God's faithfulness. Because we are told here that the Lord will not forsake his people. Moses had already written in Deuteronomy, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Folks, let's focus our eyes on God. He is sure. He is steadfast. He is the rock. He is the strength. He is the refuge. He is the deliverer. He is the protector. He is our God. And then that verse which says, thou art my God and I will praise thee. Thou art my God and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We know as we go through this passage that Samuel talks about God's promises are proven. He had not forsaken Abraham. He had not forsaken Moses. He had not forsaken Joshua. He had not forsaken Moses. He had not forsaken Samuel. And guess what, folks? He won't forsake us. He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a wonderful verse in Joshua 23:14, and it says this. This is what God says. Not one thing had failed. Not one thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All came to pass for you. Not one word failed. And that is true today as the day was written. It is true in God's dealings with us in our day as in Samuel's day. Why? Because it goes on to say, because of his great name, and they were his people. We were people of God. God had made his promises. He will keep those promises. Not one word will fail. They were God's people. The Lord did not set his love on you, Samuel tells them, nor choose, it says in Deuteronomy, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the people, for you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Have you ever thought that God created this nation out of nothing? It was the Lord's grace at work, for there was nothing in themselves that merited God choosing them as a people. They did not choose God, he chose them. Consider, he's saying to the people, what great things God has done for you. And isn't that wonderful for us? Why did God choose us? Because I'm good looking? I don't think so. I don't know. Praise God he did. Thank God that he did. He chose us. Nothing in me. Nothing he saw in me that said, well, when he gets a bit older, he gets a bit wiser and a bit better. Because it hasn't happened. He set his love upon us. And it's all of Christ. We're going to heaven. Not because of what we have done. Because what God has done in Christ for us. Samuel tells the people that he would not sin against the Lord, in that he would, although they were disobedient and they did what they did, that he would be very careful to continue his faithful ministry amongst them as directed by the Lord, to teach them, to pray for them, and lead them in the good and the right way. All this is in chapter 12. Samuel would remind them later on again to consider the great things that God has done for you and exhort them to follow him. We've talked about God's promises before and God's word. In 2 Peter it says that God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. He has for us. And let us, by the help of the Holy Spirit, and why I keep on emphasizing the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we think we can do it all ourselves, and it's our willpower and our mindset and our efforts and our energy. But I really believe that if we to get this in the way that we should do, we absolutely need the moving of the Holy Spirit within us to enlighten our minds, to move us in that way. And let us then not only have the promises of God, which are proven, let us rely on them. And when the Lord says, and I've mentioned this before, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that is exactly what he means. He doesn't mean now and again, from time to time, here and there. It means exactly what it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And how wonderful it is that we are the Lord's children. That he will help us to make the right choices to follow him. He has given us his word. He has given us the Holy Spirit whom we've placed within our hearts to lead us into all truth. And we are to be sanctified through that truth. And isn't it wonderful also? Sometimes we feel we're helpless in prayer. We don't pray aright, we don't pray as often, we don't pray as earnestly. There's always something wrong that we could do better. But isn't it wonderful to know that our Saviour, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, he also prays for us. He intercedes for us. He mediates between us. He's our advocate. He is our Saviour. Folks, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. With all your heart, for consider what great things God has done for you. I've got to consider what great things God has done for me. And as we come to the end of the study in the last few verses, Samuel is on this, only fear the Lord, serve the Lord in truth with all your hearts. Folks, our lives are the Lord's. And we should endeavour to seek to follow him. We should endeavour to serve him as and when we can. We can't all do this, we all can't do that. But whatever little thing I was talking about Mary the other week, she did what she could. And that's what we need to do. Consider and do the things that we do. That we are to know that the God we have is a holy God. And Moses knew what he was talking about here when Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, fear the Lord and serve him, because at the burning bush, remember, he had to take his shoes off because it was holy ground. And the people, and Samuel urges the people that they are to give God the reverence due to him. Not be frightened of him, but come before him in awe and knowing who God is, how mighty, how great, how wonderful he is. And let us serve the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls. Samuel tells the people, as we go on here, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. The people needed to think carefully and deliberately. They needed to reflect and ponder and meditate, contemplate, whatever you like, think through, weigh up, whatever word you use, evaluate what great things God has done for them as a nation, the promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the deliverance from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, defeat of the Egyptians, being led in by the cloud and the cloud of fire at night, provision of food, the water in the wilderness, clothes not wearing out, the law, the commandments, the tabernacle, the defeat of the nations in the promised land, the judges that God gave. God was a proven God to his word. He's the one who called the nation to being. He had the special relationship with them. It was he who revealed himself to them. And they should consider this. They should consider what great things God has done for them. And the last verse, which says here, is the final warning to the people. There is a choice. There's two ways. With God, without God. And whichever way they choose will determine their future. Joshua said many years before, choose you yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And just as a way of a quick application, we ourselves are children of God. We must know our rightful place before God. It says in Ecclesiastes, conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Isaiah was reverent when he had that vision, and he says, woe is me, I am undone. John in the New Testament in Revelation, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. We must remember, he is God. We are but men. He is the creator. We are the created. Let us fear him. Be reverent towards him in awe, serving him with a true heart. For he is our Lord and our Master. We, as children of God, should consider what great things God has done. And in closing, we must consider what great things he has done for us. Take salvation, for example. We read in Isaiah, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. And that's primarily talking about how God will deliver his people through the salvation by sending his beloved son. Who would have thought of that? I mean, it's just beyond us. As children of God, let us consider this, that you and I were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. You and I are under God's love, under his mercy. He gives us the faith to believe. He's given us forgiveness of sins, peace with God. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. He's given us eternal life, living hope. We have heaven to look forward to. We're adopted as his children. Jesus prays for us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Father and the Son make their home with us when we love him and keep his commandments. God's loving kindness is to us. His long suffering is for us. His faithfulness is without doubt. He appoints our ways. He orders our ways. God is sovereign. He is good. He is caring. He is compassionate. He guides us. We have access to God through him. We have spiritual blessings. And as I said before, that Jesus intercedes, mediates, he's our advocate, he is our king, he is our priest, he is the good shepherd of our souls, he is the creator God, he is the refuge, he is the strength, he is the rock, he is the shelter. My friends, what a great God we have, and surely as his people, sometimes, now and again, we can take 5 minutes and consider what great things God has done for us.